door is open, the welcome mat is out, and this is It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. My name is Edie Weinstein, and together we'll be exploring what relationships are really all about. Sometimes they're light and playful, sometimes messy and challenging. Our guests are transformational teachers and authors, artists and musicians in this realm that makes life so sweet. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and the music that ushers us into the show and leads us out of the show, Only You, was written by my friends Rick Denzine and Deborah Lee of Lyra Project. You can find their beautiful music on lyraproject.com. What I've come to realize over the last 2.5 years that I've been doing the show is that my guests are storytellers. They share the story of their lives, the triumphs and the tragedies, the love and the loss. And tonight, my guest is someone very special. We've not yet met, but our paths have crossed via the marvels of modern technology, and I know his mom, which is pretty cool, and I look forward to meeting him now that he's on this side of the country. Gentleman that we're going to be speaking with, his name is Sasha Joseph Neulinger, and he's a filmmaker, storyteller. And what he says is sometimes the best way to move forward in life is by looking back. Even if it's a painful story that we want to forget, some things are too important to be forgotten. And when we look back at those things, we're able to heal ourselves and then help other people. So I look at Sasha not only as a survivor, but a thriver. So I am going to invite him onto the show. Sasha, welcome.
Hey, Edie, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So I know that you're used to being on the other side of the camera as a child star and the star of your family home movies. Tell me a little bit about what that was like, the early years of being on the other side of the camera.
So storytelling and specifically filmmaking has always been part of my family and my upbringing. My dad was a filmmaker, and so he always had a camera in his hand, and home videos were just the norm. I started doing some acting when I was 7 years old, and it kind of became an escape for me, a way to escape some of the traumas that I was dealing with as a child survivor of child sexual abuse. So I started acting, and I actually I got to act in Shallow Hal and Unbreakable and some Hollywood films, which was great. In loving film and having the opportunity to kind of escape my reality, which was so painful and challenging as a child, I really kind of fell in love with filmmaking. And so it's nice to be behind the camera today and working really hard to share a story that I think is going to help a lot of people.
Okay, and what is that story?
So I'm directing my first feature-length documentary. It's autobiographical. It's called Rewind to Fast Forward. And it's my story about surviving multi-generational child sexual abuse, and it's been an incredible journey. I know we'll go into deeper details here, but when I was 7 years old, first disclosed what was happening to me, and over the next 10 years of my life, I was in and out of courtrooms testifying against 3 separate abusers, and also simultaneously working through therapy with my psychiatrist for 10 years, and when I finally ended that whole saga, I moved out to Bozeman, Montana from Pennsylvania, and I started a collegiate career in film studies. And long story short, when I graduated right out of the gate, I was working with National Geographic, and I sat back and I realized, hold on a second, I survived so much. And I'm sitting here, I love where I live, I love the work that I'm doing, I love the friends that I have in my life, I love myself. And I have an incredible opportunity to go back and tell my story. And since my dad was a filmmaker, he had 200 hours of home video. So I called my father and I said, hey, you still have those home videos? Like, how much do you have? He's like, yeah, I have 2 boxes. I said, just send them to me. And what I started to discover once I started looking through the tapes, many of which were unlabeled, was that there were these beautiful moments that I had completely forgotten about that had been overshadowed by the painful memories. But then there were also incredibly telling moments, moments where my abusers are with me at family events, and all of these memories started to come back. And I realized, you know, the title Rewind to Fast Forward, it's this idea that we can go back and tell a chronological story of a child growing up through abuse and surviving, but at any moment we can pull out from that chronological story and I can interview the detective, I can interview the psychiatrist, I can interview the prosecutor or my parents and all the people who are involved to break down what the experience is for a survivor, for the family, and what some of the clinical and legal challenges are for survivors who want to move forward with their life. So it's an incredible journey that I'm on now. And what I tell people is that, you know, going back and telling this story, it has been challenging emotionally, but it's also been incredibly beautiful and liberating, because if the first 23 years, I was 23 years old when I started this film, I'm going to turn 26 in September. If the first 23 years of my life was the first coat of paint, this project has been going back and looking at all the spots I missed and really paying attention to the details and healing wounds that I didn't even realize still existed. And so in that sense, it's been incredibly therapeutic.
So at what point did you decide to move from silent victim to sharing with your parents what happened? What was the turning point for you?
So I think this is pretty universal, but a lot of victims of child sexual abuse, you know, we feel initially when the abuse starts that we're being abused because we're awful, we're dirty, we're disgusting, and we must have done something wrong to deserve this abuse. Kids don't know what child sexual abuse is. What they know is that what's happening to them hurts. So I didn't know what child sexual abuse was, and I thought that I deserved it. That starts the victim mindset. But one day I was walking up to the attic, up the stairs, walk of shame, to go into my cousin Stuart's room, and he was one of my abusers. And my little sister was walking down the stairs. So I was seven at the time. She was three. And so we didn't exchange any words, but there were tears in her eyes. And I knew that something had happened to her, that what was happening to me was happening to her. And we had this moment where we just stared at each other halfway on the staircase. And that's when I realized for the first time that, oh, wait, the abuse, that what's happening to me isn't just because I'm bad, dirty, and disgusting. It may happen to me because I deserve it. That was my mindset. But my sister is the most beautiful person in my life. And I realized that if this was happening to her, that's when it clicked that this was awful, that this needed to stop. And it wasn't as simple as, hey, mom and dad, I'm being sexually abused. Like I said, kids don't understand really what it is. And it's scary because I was threatened that if I had told anyone that I would be killed. So I started by acting out. I was jumping out of cars on the highway. You know, I was grabbing kitchen knives. I was screaming. I was acting out so that my parents would get me help, where I finally had an opportunity to disclose what had happened. So it took some time, but it was at that moment when I met my sister on the staircase that I knew I had to do something to make this stop.
So your story is not unique. There are many other people that have gone through what you've gone through. Is the film partly a way of reaching out to them and saying, you're not alone?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think not only the personal pain and self-loathing that comes from being a victim of child sexual abuse, you start with that, but then there's the stigma that comes from society's lack of awareness and understanding of what child sexual abuse actually is, you know? So it's, you know, in so many ways, you know, it's an epidemic, right? So depending on the studies you look at, I mean, if we want to go with an older study, but it's one out of every four girls, one out of every six boys are sexually abused before they're 18. That's a lot of people, but it's rarely talked about. And I think the more we talk about it, the more we can change it. But to talk about it, it means that as a society, we have to be open to having the incredibly challenging conversations about child sexual abuse. And that includes acknowledging that, yes, this exists. Yes, this is happening everywhere. Yes, it's happening. It's being done by trusted family members, people that the family knows, that actually it's not the guy or the girl in the white paneled van. It's people at family events more so than not. So we have to have these conversations. And, you know, it's scary. There are, you know, when I started this journey, I didn't know what every day, but, you know, saying, hey, you don't have to hide your pain from the world and suffer alone in it. Instead, you're beautiful. What happened to you isn't your fault. And in fact, if you want to recover and have peace and joy in your life, you can. And we need to erase the shame and the stigma so that as a society, we provide a healthier environment for survivors to get the help they need without also having to overcome the shame that just piles on to the negative feelings that are already harboring inside of them. And we got to shift the dynamic. And I believe that we do that by speaking up. It's not easy, but I think that's what we got to do.
How did you find the courage to face the trauma during the trial, during the revelatory part, and now the filmmaking? What's it take to do that?
You know, I don't have a clear-cut answer for that. I mean, I think that I was very fortunate. You know, I had an incredibly loving, supportive family. My parents gave up their business. My grandparents, you know, they sold a home. Like, they piled up as much money as they could to help me get therapy. I had an incredible support group. But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the fear that I felt when I was being abused, and particularly one of my abusers said, you know, while he was raping me, if you tell anyone, I'll kill you. That was so terrifying. And the fact that I was able to tell an adult eventually that something was happening, after that happened, even though there was fear, it gave me momentum. And I realized that if I could say it once, I could say it again. And, you know, I had help as a child through the whole prosecution process and in my healing. But I would say that it's a little bit different when we talk about the film Rewind to Fast Forward, because, you know, the first six consecutive years of my life where abuse wasn't the first thing I had to think about, whether it was through therapy or through court dates, was my time in college and the years following it. And as crazy as it sounds, I was ready to quote unquote retire. Like, I wanted to have a really simple life without any kind of emotional intensity because I was exhausted. But realizing, I think, the gratitude and the love, and realizing just being so grateful to be sitting at an editing desk working on a National Geographic project and thinking to myself, wow, I got so much help. What about all the other people that don't have the resources I had? What about, like, how can we create resources for those people so that it shouldn't be mind-blowing that a survivor of child sexual abuse gets the help that they need and gets to thrive in their life? That shouldn't be awe-inspiring. I want that to be the norm. It shouldn't be something that's so traumatic and closeted that we never get to heal from it. And right now, that's really what's happening, and that has to shift. So I would say that the courage that you said, you know, how to find the strength, the courage, it's knowing that no matter how scary it is to make this film and share my story with the world, it's not so scary that it would prevent me from having the opportunity to, and acting on the opportunity to, make a difference and hopefully help other survivors so that they're not alone, so that they can heal. Because if I got to heal, like, and I know what it feels like, and I'm still learning every day, I still have vulnerabilities, I still have fears, I still have self-doubt, but to be where I am today, it's impossible for me to not make this film and try to do something about this issue.
And if people want to learn more about the film, they go to rewindtofastforward.com. That's the website?
Yeah. Yes, rewindtofastforward.com. So we finished filming. I was able to take an Emmy Award-winning film crew to Philadelphia for 3 weeks. And so we're completely done with the filming. And now, actually, Skywalker Sound, the guys that did sound design for Star Wars, Saving Private Ryan, Ooh. Titanic, they're on board now. And so all of a sudden, the production value is just becoming more than I ever could have imagined. And I'm trying to raise more money so I can afford an Academy Award-winning editor. I want this film to have shelf life so it can help generations of people. But yeah, the website has information on the film, a letter from me, and also the trailer that we have right now for the film.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is quite profound. I've watched it several times, and I never fail to cry and get goosebumps when I watch it. So, yeah, definitely check that out, folks. It's just absolutely amazing. And the other thing, two things come to mind. When you were talking about the idea of wanting survivors to get the help they need, the ideal situation is that nobody ever has to go through what you went through. That's my dream. You know, if I ruled the world, nobody would hurt anybody. And, you know, I've worked with abuse and trauma survivors in my therapy practice, and what I've told them is that it stops with you. That, you know, so your consciousness and your choice not to harm another human being, you know, is already, that's a triumph, you know, that you're choosing to be a healing force as opposed to a harming force in the world. So I think that's a,
you know, it, and it's not black or white, you know, there's so much gray. And I think, you know, like you just said, you know, the act of choice, you know, and I think that's where we draw the line between the victim mindset and the survivor mindset. And it's this idea of, you know, the world is happening to me versus, you know, I can't control what happens around me, but I can choose how I show up in my life. And I will, the only thing I can really take responsibility for is my emotions, my actions, the words that come out of my mouth and how I show up. And, you know, a big part of that too, I think is forgiveness. Even if, you know, my abusers don't necessarily quote unquote deserve, they didn't ask for forgiveness. Right. Mm-hmm. But, I forget who said it, but holding on to resentment or anger is like taking poison and expecting it to hurt somebody else, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And what I realize is that, you know, I was abused not because I was dirty, disgusting, or unlovable, like I previously thought, but, you know, the people that abused me are in serious pain. You don't abuse a child unless you are seriously struggling internally.
Right.
And
right.
It doesn't excuse the action, but at the same time, like, I can find peace in knowing that, you know. I don't think child sexual abuse is about, it's not about sex. It's about control. And these people that abused me did not feel empowered. And that was the way they could feel power for a second. But, you know, I don't wish child abuse on anybody, of course. And I agree with you. Like, I hope that we don't have to have this discussion, you know. One day, I would love it if we don't need child advocacy centers, but right now we need them. I'd love it if one day we don't need survivor awareness groups, but right now we need a ton of them. And, you know, here we are. We're having a conversation.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you actually, speaking of conversation, were on stage doing a TED Talk back in March, and that was phenomenal. How can people find that?
Thank you.
What do they look up to find that, the TED Talk?
Yes, so Upworthy wrote an article about it, so you could find it through Upworthy, or if you go onto YouTube. The title of my talk is Trauma is Irreversible, How It Shapes Us is Our Choice. And so, yeah, you can find it on YouTube or through Upworthy. But that was an incredible experience. And, you know, sometimes when I'm having a tough day, because I have them, we all do, we're human beings.
Yeah.
When I watch it, I'm like, whoa, you know, that's me. And sometimes when I'm feeling tired or weak or nervous or scared or just vulnerable, it actually helps me to remember that, you know, it's like, again, it's not all or nothing. You know, it's let me put one foot in front of the other and do my best every day. And that's surviving, you know?
Mm-hmm. So how have you changed? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was going to say, how have you changed as a result, and how have your relationships with your family and friends changed as a result, you know, of making the film?
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, some of the scenes, too, in this film have sparked deeper awareness and understanding, both of myself and of my family members. You know, walking through my dad's childhood home with a film camera, and he walks through the rooms and talks about where he was abused, and we're able to share that story. You know, his brothers who abused him also abused me.
Right.
The connections that I have with my family are so much deeper. And I would also, you know, my sister and I are so close. I mean, she moved out to Montana last year, and I consider her my best friend. My parents and I have a really deep, beautiful, open, healthy connection. And, you know, and the relationship with myself has changed. And when, as the relationship with myself shifts, so does my relationship with everyone else around me. So, more self-respect, healthier boundaries, you know, and even with dating, you know, I had a history of, choosing women that, were actually really abusive. And I had to look inward and say, why is that? Why do you choose women like that? And in understanding some of those wounds that were still a little wet, and through this process in the film, I've been able to redefine what boundaries I have for me, what's okay and what isn't okay for Sasha, what's appropriate and what isn't, what's acceptable and what isn't. And as a result, I feel like I've been able to show up in my relationships with more integrity and close the door on relationships that aren't nurturing and supportive and compassionate and open and serving, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, I can't tell you how challenging it's been to look inward and see those demons and also, you know, be aware of them and then try to do something about it so that I'm having healthier, more open, connected relationships. And it's been beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, it would be, you know, horrible to think that this should ever have had to happen in your life. But as a result of it, you are a different person than you would have been and making a different impact on the world than you would have had it not happen. It's one of those, if not for, experiences. So, you know, bless you for doing what you do. And I want to thank you so much for your generous spirit, for your creativity, for the courage. And I know it may not feel like it, but to some people, it's outrageously courageous what you're doing. And what's your dream as we close out for what this film can do? How worldwide do you want it to go?
Well, you know, I want this film to reach as many human beings as possible. So I want this film to be accessible in every language, at child advocacy centers, at schools, basically any human being who feels that they need to hear a story or find some healing or explore some demons that up until this point, maybe they haven't been willing to look at. I want it to help survivors, obviously, but by bringing on, you know, Skywalker Sound, having an Emmy award-winning film crew, you know, having an Academy Award-winning editor, I also want this film to really have a shelf life and a presence, a standalone presence as a film. And the biggest challenge I face, but something I'm feeling really confident about, is making sure that when I tell the story, I don't cut any corners in the truth of the pain and the trauma, but I also don't overwhelm the audience so that by the end of the film, they're exhausted and they want to go home and pass out. And so this film is going to be entertaining, and also hopefully really educational, and it might open some doors for people who are working on their healing.
Wonderful. Sasha, thank you so much for our time together, and enjoy the rest of your time with your family here before you head back to Montana. Look forward to catching up with you for a live and in-person hug before you go back if we can. So thank you.
Oh, we should definitely make it happen. I'm looking forward to a big old hug here. Big bear.
Sounds good. And
Edie, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure, honey. Next week, folks, my guests are Cheryl Dodd Baldwin and Mary Ellen Finnerty. And they're going to be talking about living with ease. I always mix this up. Grace, flow, and ease. Wouldn't it be nice to live that way? So until next week, I thank you. I bless you. I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us here on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio, opening your heart and mind to the possibilities that are there for you to create a life that is filled with love. Until next week, wishing you healthy and fulfilling relationships and sending hugs from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.